3, side 2 of Interview with Carl Heimborg.
Now, you, at the end of 44 sometime, did you say November or December?
Yeah.
You went to Leiston.
Leiston.
Mm-hmm. And so did you, were you added on to a crew of people that had already been there? I mean, did you expand the operation?
We were independent of that group, which was there testing the combustion chambers. And what we had in mind was to create a new test facility for complete vehicles to check out things that might come up on the side of the troops in order to correct that. You know, we got some information from the troop side that or that or that has not functioned properly and that had to be checked. And of course we wanted to continue with that. And therefore we had in mind, okay, we build a test stand up at Leiston.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I had told you that I went to Berlin after we had the first bands in order to get the necessary agreements with them to build it, to get the money for that. And the answer I got in Berlin, which was, why don't you go on with your planning? We think your planning is pretty good, and my understanding was very clear, okay, you think the war is at an end, and that was the reason that I had asked the question, does it look that bad? And he said, it looks worse.
Mm-hmm. So, you went ahead with trying to build up a new test stand for complete vehicles before they were shipped to the field.
Right.
So was your activity then mainly in planning?
Mainly planning.
Mm-hmm.
We had no other possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Planning. And then we got the order, you have to go to Oberammergau. And with, and the people were named, such and such people, that were about 50. We left in motor vehicles to go to the south. And, you know, there were quite a few from the different groups of Peenemünde. They came from different places.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an order of the SS. The SS probably tried to use us as an argument for the Americans or the British. This is what I believe. I'm not sure. And while I was there, they found out that our design group, they were not too far off from Leiston. They had found out the papers were not burned. And Riedel had stayed.
Which Riedel is this? Riedel
this was
three?
Riedel 3.
Yeah, Riedel 3.
Riedel 3, who came here to the United States too. And we were 3. And we got 3 new bicycles. And all bicycles looked alike, and I could only say, how in the hell can you do that? You have 3 new bicycles and you go on the same trip. Everybody will see that.
Mm-hmm.
That is very strange. And at that time, you know, Leiston and the other place were already occupied by the Americans. So we had to go through the lines. And then we were held at one place for about 2 weeks, and then we left again. And when I arrived at Leiston, I was told that American colonel is waiting for you. I believe I mentioned that to you before. I visited him and said, I'm so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really surprised when I mentioned that. And I said, where do you stay? And I said, I stayed in the local hotel. Would you please stay there so that I can call you when I need you for questioning? So sure, I will do that. And then I checked and found out the papers were burned. That was not correct, that the papers were not burned. They were burned.
Which papers were burned?
you know, drawings and the files. And the files were burned.
Of
before the Americans came in.
Of Middelwerk or of Leisten?
No, that was not Leisten. That was the name. I do not come on the name right now. Where our design people were placed. We the test
at Bleicherode.
Not Bleicherode, no.
No, not Bleicherode.
Not Bleicherode. Bleicherode, that was, let's say, the headquarter.
Yeah.
And the different groups were located in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will come to my mind too. And anyhow, I checked that that was not more than 5 miles away from Leisten. Yeah, they were located, where Riedel was located with his group. And he could prove to me that he had burned the files. So I do not know how that was, who made the mistake to say that they didn't burn the files.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of questions I have about those details, but first let me backtrack. You stayed in Leisten from December through to the beginning of April, approximately. Was that when you evacuated to Bavaria?
About, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in that time, you only worked on paper studies.
When did the Russians come into Leisten? Do you know that?
Oh, that wasn't until June or July. Okay. July, probably.
July. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I know it was summertime. When we were then evacuated by the Americans.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about before the war is over.
Yeah, right.
Before the war is over, you worked in Leisten for a few months.
For a few months.
But you only stayed working on drawing board studies, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Only studies.
Mm-hmm. And the Leisten engine testing went on until
that went on
March.
Independent from us.
Mm-hmm.
Until the Americans came.
Mm-hmm. So that went on. I know the Middelwerk shut down in March 18th or something like that.
And that was probably around the same time.
Yeah. And then the Americans didn't come for a while. And nothing.
Yeah.
But you were evacuated to Oberammergau.
Yeah.
In that area. You stayed there for how long?
Oberammergau, that were not more than 4, 5, 6 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
Before I gladly took that job going back.
Mm-hmm. Why were you glad to take the job going back?
Instead of hanging around doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, mm-hmm. I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you did, basically, after you got to Oberammergau,
yeah,
was just
right.
Hang around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't connected to von Braun and Dornberger, the
no.
group that gave up on May the 2nd.
No.
They were farther away.
Again, this is a question you can ask Tessmann, too. Tessmann was at the same place as von Braun
mm-hmm.
when the Americans came in. And Tessmann was sent out to conceal files.
Mm-hmm.
In the Harz Mountains.
Yeah. But that was even before the surrender.
That was before the surrender. Before
Tessmann and Hützel. Because, of course, Hützel...
Yeah, you're right.
Hützel wrote his book about...
Yeah.
You've read Hützel's book about that. But the thing that mystifies me about your story is... you, at least von Braun and... some of the others had wanted to save the central files of Peenemünde.
Yeah.
You know, because these are the ones that were buried by Hützel and Tessmann.
Yeah.
Why was Riedel and so forth, why was he out to make sure that the files had been destroyed,
you know,
at Leisten?
Each group had its own files, and only the central filing system was to be protected, as I understood it, and separate filing systems should be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I see it.
Why was that the case? I mean, I'm not quite sure what it would gain you one way or the other from doing it that way.
I think they try to avoid that too many separate files fell into the hands of the American side.
Mm-hmm. They were concerned that the bargaining chip?
Yeah. Yeah. Of separate bargaining.
That they would have a bargaining chip of the central files?
Yeah.
That not be undermined?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was the main concern in
this
burning the files?
This is what I think was a reason.
Mm-hmm. So you were told by, did you say it was Rudolph who told you that the files should be burned of that location, or?
No, that was not Rudolph. You know, we had our command system in Bleicherode,
mm-hmm.
and we got from Bleicherode this order.
Uh-huh. Which goes back to before the surrender, then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was that. There was one thing you mentioned, I think, informally that we hadn't talked about. You said that you had seen Middelwerk once and made an unpleasant impression.
A very unpleasant impression.
Do you want to talk about that?
The working conditions underground were very depressing. Let me explain it this way. And you immediately, when you see that, you ask yourself, how could you improve that? Could you? You come finally to the conclusion, no, you can't. Because it's not on.
So the tunnels were, seemed like a very depressing working
very
environment.
Depressing, very depressing.
Is that because they were cold or dark or damp or all of the above?
All of it.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
And did you have much direct encounter with the prisoners? And
not
the
at
shape?
All. Not yeah. at all. The only one I had a discussion with was Schäuflin. And mm-hmm. I didn't even see Rudolph
mm-hmm.
while I was present there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
And this visit was not even a must, but it was an interest. You should have at least seen that once.
Mm-hmm. It was covered a massive area underground, did it not?
Oh, it did. A massive area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had started out and had constantly increased that. Mm-hmm. Constantly.
And they'd added many other things. They ended up producing jet engines,
yeah, right,
V1s, and mm-hmm. and other things inside the facility as well over
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So you had gone back and essentially uncontrolled from Oberammergau all the way back to Thuringia again, right?
Right. Right.
And you had gone all the way back there and contacted by the Americans, and you were then removed from there when the Americans told you that the Russians were coming in?
Yeah, we were told, okay, we give you the occasion to get out of that area to the western side. And mm-hmm. The American army brought us to Saalfeld in a train, and the train brought them then to southern Germany. And there were quite a few who said, no, we want to stay here. I gave them the advice, don't, get out. Well, how should our husbands know that we are not here anymore, but that we are in south of Germany? Said, that is something which will be arranged. So don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But get out.
You're talking to about the wives of
paint vendors. Give you an example. The Air Force people whom we had, they were in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And since they were in uniform, they were taken as prisoners and sent into some detention camp. And how should they know where their wives are?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that, I was absolutely sure, we get those people out of those camps, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, of course, said, okay, they are in southern Germany, they are not anymore in Thuringia.
Mm-hmm. So you were involved in encouraging other people to evacuate when
right.
the Americans
right.
evacuated.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I know that there was an effect for some people. They just were warned almost at the last minute that you hear these stories of Americans came knocking on the door and said, "You got to get out of here in 48 hours or something like that."
Yeah. No. We didn't have too many. I believe there were about five who didn't want to go out, and I contacted them personally and said, please,
mm-hmm.
don't
mm-hmm.
get out.
Yeah.
I convinced them.
Mm-hmm. So you were then went to...
I went to Bleicherode. From there, I did not go to southern Germany. I went to Bleicherode.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bleicherode, there was a transfer from Bleicherode, which was occupied by the Russians too, then to Witzenhausen.
Hello.
Hi. Okay,
Witzenhausen.
You were at Witzenhausen.
Witzenhausen. And in Witzenhausen, we put the group together which should go to the United States. And the first group was selected, and I belonged to the first group of five.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sent to Frankfurt and brought into a camp. I had mentioned that to you before. And then, completely unknown to us, the British and the American side, the British requested that they wanted to see the launch of a V-2. And this was built up at Cuxhaven. And all of a sudden, the five of us, we got the order, you go to Cuxhaven. And we met on the way to Cuxhaven, another group, by the way, Rudolf belonged to that group too, and we got vehicles which were partly destroyed and brought them into shape so that they could be launched, and I believe there were three or five launches, I don't even know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Landshut, and from Landshut we were shipped to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then, at that time, in the third shipment.
Mm-hmm. Which was in towards the beginning of 1946 or something.
No, this was in November
uh-huh.
45.
Uh-huh. Did you question much the idea of going to the United States, or did it just seem pretty natural?
It seemed to me natural in this way. Here is a lost war. This takes quite some time until everything is reorganized. So you are better off when you are not in Germany, but you are outside of Germany. Because I knew the company in which I was in, they would have a slow start until they would work again. So I figured you are best off if you are for 1 year outside. And we figured, well, probably 1-2 years we will be outside and then we will come back. Because the idea mainly was not to start a rocket business, but the United States was interested, what were the rockets like, how far can you use them, what can you do with them. And we had even started out a second stage for the V-2 at Fort Bliss. But it never came to bear because after 2 years, you know, then about 3 years, it finally was decided, no, the United States will go into the rocket business too,
mm-hmm.
and we would stay there.
Did you, so you went without any real intention of going on a permanent basis?
No, not at all, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was fairly convinced after 2 years latest you will be back.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a personal opinion, and everybody had a different opinion about mm-hmm. that.
Yeah,
but we all were convinced we won't stay there, we will go back.
Yeah, I'm not sure what von Braun thought. That's true of him, but I got the impression that not everybody would. I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of question whether you would be able to stay.
Yeah.
It seems like some people thought maybe they would want to start
von
rocket
Braun,
development
definitely.
Business in the United States.
I'm pretty sure, knowing von Braun,
mm-hmm.
that he would like to stay in the United States and start again in the rocket business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was his hobby.
Yeah.
There's no question.
It wasn't just something that you had done during the war. It wasn't just something he had done during the war. I mean,
he
it was his
quite,
life.
He had quite openly mentioned, it is a shame that we have to use it for war purposes, but it seems that to get further in the development, we need to do it.
Do you remember him specifically saying that
yeah.
at Peenemünde?
Yeah.
When did he say that? You think?
He mentioned that repeatedly. And I heard him say that, I think that was in 43.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anyone told you that, you know, von Braun, Hitler was not convinced of the V2. And since the war changed a little bit, he was approached by Speer. And Speer then finally must have convinced Hitler that von Braun should tell him the story of the V2. And Dannenberger was the one who told von Braun, when you come to Hitler, you keep your mouth shut about the possibility to go into space. Don't mention that. In the moment when you do that, he will throw you out. So don't mention that. And he did not.
Mm-hmm. Where did you hear that story from? Because it's very...
By von Braun, too. Mm-hmm. He told us at once.
Mm-hmm. In the United States?
In the United States, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's very important for the historical record that you remember distinctly von Braun saying during the war, at Peenemünde,
yeah.
that he wasn't happy that it was used
it
first
was used
as a military.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that strike you at the time as a trifle risky for him to say that? Or was it done?
That was very obvious to me that it was risky. And I was surprised that he mentioned that. But this was not a big coup, that there were a couple of three people or so where he mentioned it.
So you mean in terms of private...
Yeah, yeah.
Private testimony.
Private testimony, yeah.
The private discussions, conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean at sort of social occasions or something like that or just inside the laboratories?
I think that was inside a laboratory meeting when he came by.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I should tell you that story. It's not, again, not anything.
As far as this anecdotes or the statements of von Braun, he said he's only among a few friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About... So he wasn't too careless about who he made these statements to.
He was restricted.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say that to everybody. He told that people whom he had confidence that they would not misuse his words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's very important. I mean, people have said that, but we have very little clear evidence. And for judging his intentions, what mm-hmm. he wanted, you know, and his relationship to the to the Nazis.
You know, that you have to have this kind of information.
It's a pleasure. I give you one example. I don't have that.
You were just talking in conclusion about working with von Braun, and we all know that he had many brilliant aspects and talents. But
aspects and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had once was confronted with a problem, and I was aware you could do it three different ways. But I was not clear in my mind which would be the best one. So I thought, why don't you ask von Braun? So I told him, I have a problem and maybe you can help me. He mm-hmm. listened to me. And then he said, well, you make your own decision. And I tell you afterwards if it was right or wrong. Which was, from his point of view, absolutely right. For that purpose, I have you. Why should I bother with such projects?
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't entirely pleasant for you.
Not at all.
You're afraid you would make the wrong decision from his standpoint?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the fact, you always have it easy to judge.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you know, von Braun was very clear too. Look, this is your problem. This is not my problem. I have my own problems.
Mm-hmm.
You solve your own problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he expressed that more than once very clearly.
But he seemed to know what was going on in every single area.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't see that as interference.
But he did not like at all. Was, well, we solved that problem in a committee. He didn't like to hear that. You are responsible, not the committee. The committee is never responsible. One man is responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, in my opinion, a necessity too. So that people cannot conceal themselves behind a screen. Uh-uh. That's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I work the same way.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you learned something from his management concept?
Oh, definitely. Definitely I learned a few things. As I had mentioned, when you work on the government side, do not come out with the real figures.
Mm-hmm.
You lose the project before you have started it. He had told me that in Germany, and that was true here in the States as it was in Germany.
Mm-hmm. But his command over all areas, I know a lumber people said that, firstly, he had command over all the different aspects, and secondly, he talked to everybody from the top to the bottom.
He did.
Down to the mechanic.
He did. And that was something which some people didn't like at all, and I can understand that. You know, when you are, for example, head of the design, and he talks with the designer without your knowledge, and you come to the designer and you discuss it and say, okay, let's do it in such and such a way, and the designer tells you, von Braun told me differently. That, of course, is something you don't like. Then you can say, you, von Braun, when you make such a decision, let me know. Not that I learned that from a designer.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have heard the name of Reidel.
Mm-hmm.
Reidel was head of the design for some time here. And he left because he couldn't stand that.
What was it? How do you spell his name?
R-A-I-T-H-E-L.
Mm-hmm. Reidel.
Mm-hmm. So this was, let's say, something you as supervisor didn't like if he did that. I didn't experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could not complain about that, but Reidel told me that this is the reason that I leave.
Mm-hmm. That he felt
if that happens only once in a year, mm-hmm. you can stand that's all right. But if that happens repeatedly,
mm-hmm. He told, what do you mean? He told one person one thing and one person another?
No. He told the designer, how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not tell the boss that he had made the decision.
Yeah.
And of course, when you come to the designer and you are being told, well, von Braun told me so-and-so.
Yeah, then so this was one of the disadvantages of von Braun's management
concept. That's the reason I mentioned that.
Yeah, he always had many advantages as well.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.